coming to you from my apartment that doubles as a podcast recording studio. This is What Should I Do With My Life with Steph Horowitz. I'm Steph Horowitz. Thanks for joining me. This podcast is about how none of us know what we're doing. None of us have it figured out. No matter if you seem like you have it all together, you really don't, so be honest. We're going to talk about real stories from real people, their experiences, how they're figuring it out. From career pivots to being in the same industry for 40 years, we're going to hash this thing out so we can all find more meaning and passion in our work and day-to-days. Hi, everyone. I want you to meet the incredible Ava Szilagyi. Born and raised in New York, Ava is a firecracker, business owner, freelancer, mom, queen, and everything in between. Ava is a certified Pilates and yoga instructor, a Zumba teacher, a 305 fitness instructor, and a personal trainer. In this episode, Ava talks about the role that dance played and plays in her life. We discuss the aftermath of living and breathing something you're so passionate about in such an intensive way. She shares about the challenges and perks of mixing freelancing and motherhood, and talks about how 305 Fitness is shaking up the industry. This really was a fun talk between girlfriends. I had a great time. You wouldn't know that I lost internet 5 times throughout the conversation. Funny side note. Eva always makes me laugh. I'm a huge fan of her and her work, so much so that I'm in a group chat with friends called Ava's Fan Club. Ava is currently taking new clients, so make sure to check out the show notes if you're interested in working together. Sit back, relax. Here's Ava. Lou?
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
What's up? How are you? No, I see you're in Nova's room. So cute. Is that the only place in the house for you to comfortably sit?
No, it's, I can do it in the living room, but I'm afraid that there might be too much. I'm afraid that I have a cat that meows a lot.
Okay. Stay in there. No, you don't need to go do a
No, I think this actually makes the most sense.
So Ava, I'm so glad to have you join me today on What Should I Do With My Life? You know, I'm a big fan of yours and from fan to friend, but still fan. It's just very special for me. So I'm super excited to talk to you today.
I'm so happy to be here. Like, I feel like a celebrity.
You are a celebrity. She is a celebrity and everyone will find out soon why. We're going to just kick it off. Ava, tell us in one sentence, what do you do?
I inspire people to get moving, no matter what their level of fitness is.
And a backstory, which I don't think I ever told you before. The first time I met you, the first time I took one of your classes, it was a Zumba class and I went with Tali. And I believe you were maybe in your 8th month of pregnancy.
And that's awesome. We walked in
and this is, I know this sounds terrible, but we were like, are we in the wrong class? Is this like a mom to be class?
Totally.
Vastly underestimated you, got our asses kicked in that class. We took after photo, which I'll send to you later. It's Tali and me. We were like, we just got our ass kicked by our teacher who's getting ready to have a baby. And it was amazing and so hard and died. We died. It's a really, really funny picture. I'll send it to you. But I just wanted to make sure you heard that little anecdote.
That's so funny.
Because you were killing it and I couldn't keep up with you.
Oh my gosh. I feel like my classes were harder when I'm pregnant. I feel like they're harder when I'm pregnant. I feel like I have more, I don't have to prove anything, but I feel like I want to make sure people are getting, you know, a regular class, even though the instructor is like very pregnant, you know, like I know my body, I know how to kind of like hold back and make sure that you're giving more. But yeah, I've been told before that my classes actually have been harder. It's fun. And it's not that everyone can do it.
Oh, no.
It's not
like I loved it. No. Whoever's listening, no. It's good hard. I was like schwitzing, working hard, shimmying and shaking. We're going to talk a bit more about all these opportunities to shimmy and shake with Ava. But to take a step back, what did you want to be when you grow up?
I remember distinctly at one point really wanting to be an animator. And I had a book that was all about animation, and I remember making like those little flip books where like each picture moves like a tenth of a degree so that when you flip it, it's like a moving image. And then I think that was like a little thing that I had. And then I think I always wanted to be a performer. being a dancer was a big dream of mine. So I think that's, it was always something creative. It was always something like that.
On the one hand, when you talked about the animation, it surprised me. And then on the other hand, I thought, okay, creative movement, because you're literally right. Illustrating movement, which is embodies so much of who you are and what you do. So you said that you were thinking about being a performer growing up to be a dancer. So what role did dance play in your life growing up?
It's always been part of my life. I took dance lessons from a very young age. There were a couple of times where I stopped dancing. I wouldn't take class. And it's just always, I always ended up back at it. If you're a dancer, you must take class. Dancers are some of the most disciplined people in the world. So you're constantly practicing your technique. You're constantly getting feedback from your teachers. So there were long periods of time where I was not getting that. But I think just, I always was moving with my body, and whether it was something I was very, very, very much involved with, or I was focusing on other things, it was something I've always been into. I feel like there's parts of my life where it was very much how I defined myself. I am a dancer. And, you know, that was like the top thing.
It's so interesting how you said, like, identifying yourself as a dancer, like that's the key identity marker, because it's also a passion. It's what you're spending all your time doing. It was something, it was like a, I don't know if it was a, was it a career path? Was it kind of like, my goal is to be a performer here? Or
at one point it definitely was a goal. That was the career that I was going for. Of course, being a professional dancer is like one of the hardest jobs in the world. It's like being in the Olympics every day, you know, depending on what kind of company you're in. It's an extremely, extremely difficult, rewarding, but difficult career path. But there was a point, I think, in my late teens, early 20s, where that was what I wanted. But then, you know, it's really hard. Like,
yeah, no kidding. What were you doing? Ballet?
I mean, I took class in a lot of different things. Ballet is the fundamental of all forms of dance. If you've ever watched any of those dance TV shows, you always see like the hip hop person who like can't do ballet, but then you see the ballet person who like can kind of pick up anything. So I would say ballet is probably like the base of, if you're going to like learn how to dance, ballet is a really good foundation to have. Also, if you're a parent and you're looking to put your kids in dance, I would recommend to start with ballet, even if it's not what they, even if they want to dance, like, I don't know, hip hop, ballet is a really good, it's a really good way to start. So I did a lot of stuff, but I think I was mostly into contemporary dance and modern dance. I mean, we're talking a lifetime ago, you know, like when I think back to like when I was really into that, I'm like, what crack was I smoking that I thought that I could like do that?
But you were doing it. What do you mean? Who do I think I am that I'm gonna like be one in a million to make it as a dancer? What do you mean?
In that way, yes. And I don't think that's me being insecure. I think that's just me being like, girl, like, no. Like, there's like, you know, dancers are really, 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 they're like, they're superhuman. It was a really long time ago that I really wanted to do it. I worked my ass off. I didn't take dance for like many, many years. And then like junior year of high school, I'm like, I want to be a dance major. So I had to like whip my ass into shape to prepare for auditions. I did get in to a school. So that was like pretty cool, because like I hadn't danced for a pretty long time. And then like in a year, I managed to like get good enough that like a college did take me.
As we know, and as you said, and you know firsthand, and I only see in the movies and what I read, how grueling and intensive and difficult this passion and profession is. And I'm wondering what it was like for you. I'm wondering if
doing something you were so passionate about in such a intensive, rigid, nonstop, you know, competitive way? Did it take away your love for dance?
100%.
Okay.
100%. And that was a big reason why I realized that it wasn't for me. I am not a competitive person with other people. I really crack under pressure. I'm competitive with myself. I strive high. I do look at what other people are doing just to kind of like, I do compare myself in some ways, but this type of lifestyle was just, I'm just too sensitive. I'm too sensitive. It wasn't for me. I don't audition well. I can't remember choreography. I'm not you. I am not you.
But you've done, that's a whole other thing. It's because you've done millions and millions of dances, and I've done my limited amount that I remember from fourth grade.
But that's amazing because like I can't remember like a dance. I can't remember it. I can't remember other people's choreography, which is why dance aerobics is so better, because they're like, I'm going to just make this part up because I don't like that part and I can't remember it. So remembering other people's stuff was, it's not for me. So I learned, you know, I figured that out pretty quickly that you need to be on. And it wasn't for me. I also don't like sports. I don't like playing sports like where you're on a team, because if you mess up, everyone's mad at you. That like always, you know, that like always stressed me out.
Yeah.
I've also never worked in an office. I don't know how I would deal with people being annoyed with me or met. Like, I'm just
or
like,
you being
I'm in
annoyed
my own
with them.
Well, that I'm okay with. The older I get, I'm 31 now, the older I get. So I'm not old, but like, I'm realizing that I have constructed my life in a specific way that I'm always in charge. And that has been very good. It works really well for me. I feel super comfortable that way. But when it's another dynamic, I'm not used to that. And that is like, I'm learning now how to work with other people. And I love people. I'm a people person, but just this, it's a different dynamic that I don't have experience with it.
That makes so much sense that you being independent and calling the shots and doing your own thing is very much you, because that's so much your life now and what you do. You're a personal trainer, a certified Pilates and yoga instructor, 305 fitness instructor. You're a teacher in every sense of the word.
I also do yoga and stretching.
And you have your own business where you're essentially training people and doing different classes and.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're killing it. So we just flash forward. That's not a word.
I
think it's fast forward.
Oh.
Our English.
You're right.
we just fast forward a little bit. So I don't even know where to start. There are all these different areas that you're basically an expert in, an instructor in, and working with others in their health and movement and wellness and inspiring them. How did we go from studying dance in school to being a personal trainer, being, you know, a teacher in Pilates yoga?
I kind of transitioned out of dance, like real dance. Zumba was like the new thing, or like the big thing at that point in New York. And actually where my parents used to live, there was a Zumba studio downstairs from our apartment, which has its pros and cons.
Yeah. I'm sure you could hear them like shake
I mean, like there was just like a constant. And what's funny is there was also a bar. So there was a Zumba studio and a bar downstairs from my parents' apartment.
Oh, God.
And the Zumba studio was way louder than the bar.
Obviously.
Right. So I kind of like, you know, fell into what Zumba was very conveniently. And there was one instructor who was just like totally a league above everybody else. No offense to the people that were working there, but there was one guy who was amazing. He was teaching classes all over the area, and he made it more like dance. He was a dancer, and he was not treating his clients like regular women taking a fitness class. He was, you know, making sure that they were on the beat. He was telling them to listen to the music. He was treating them like dancers. Mm-hmm. And that really spoke to me, where it's like, wow, you don't have to be the best of the best dancer, but you can still be moving. And it is sort of a performance in a way. So I kind of started with that. I got certified in Zumba. When I moved to Israel, I think like 2 weeks in, the kibbutz I was living on was pumped that there was a new Zumba instructor on the block. So I started teaching on the kibbutz. From there, I realized Pilates would be a really good thing to also be certified in. And because of my dance background, it was just like a given, because Pilates and classical dance, they go really well together, and it's very easy to understand the fundamentals of it. And then from there, I mean, I've always been a mover. I've always done lots of different things. So then from there, I think you kind of have to like keep your ear to the ground about like what's coming up, what people are into. Then like bar, which like is very big here now, was not a thing. Nobody knew what bar was. There was like one chick that taught bar. I would sub for her, and then I became the other bar teacher in Tel Aviv. Yeah. So I did that for a while. Pretty much I've always just kind of gone with the flow of what people are looking for. Also in terms of personal training, I had the Pilates certification. At some point, I also got a yoga certification, because yoga is something I also really love. And it's just kind of like taking different things and looking at the person in front of you, and what of these things do I have would speak to this person? Are they looking for, you know, do they want to feel like a dancer? Do they want to feel really sporty? Do they want to just move their body? So I think it just was a very easy transition from dance into personal training and teaching classes.
I love what you said about having kind of this chest of tools, if you will, that because you have the background in dance and the yoga, for example, that based on meeting people, you can kind of tailor make workouts for them, plans for them. You have a background in so many different areas, and it really makes you be able to work with someone in like a very comprehensive, every angle way.
That's really important to me, because we are multifaceted people. Everybody learns differently. You can show somebody how to do something, they might not be able to mirror that. So if you can then use imagery, which is a really good tool, or hands-on approach, there's so many different ways to get what you're looking for from somebody. So I think being more from the creative world, it only helps this type of stuff. Just to be like, okay, that didn't work, let's try this. Okay, that didn't, like being able to improv a bit as well, that if something's not working, to kind of try something different.
You said it yourself in your own words, and at least the way I picked up on it, and I'm sure everyone listening, is that you're really a mover in every sense. And just like you're a creator in every sense, you're a mover in terms of the actual work you do and working with others and the different fields of work, as well as, oh, I'm going with the flow. And now, you know, this is happening. Keeping your ear to the ground, hearing what's going on, new classes, new movements, new things are going on, and your willingness to go with the flow and do it. You're a very dynamic mover. And I love that. That's, to me, it feels like, okay, that's a big part of who you are, and you embody that and how you live your life. And it feels like to me, you know yourself very well. You know what you like, you know what's good for you, you know that you like to have, you know, to be in charge of this, you know that, oh, working with other people, it's something I need to do more of, and I'm less comfortable with it.
I want to.
Yeah, well, she wants to, everyone. And she's great. We love Ava. Did you always know yourself so well and know intuitively, this is good for me, this is bad for me? Where you always go with the flow?
Yes, I think I always had a good sense of what I want, what's good for me, and what's bad for me. It doesn't mean that I always like did the right thing. I'm getting better about it, but I do tend to be a people pleaser to a fault. Yep. Yep.
Same.
Yep. So I have gotten better about it. I'm getting better at it. But yes, I think I always had a pretty strong sense of self. As a child, we did move a lot. So I did get introduced to a whole bunch of different types of places. So, and a whole bunch of different types of people. I was a child, keep in mind, but I do feel like I had to kind of adjust myself according to my environment, but I think it helped mold me into who I am. I don't think I change depending on who I'm with, but I,
that you can kind of ebb and flow with the environment you're in. You were very much building your own structure, what your day looks like, piecing different things together. I remember you were teaching Zumba and I took your Zumba classes, and then I were taking your 305 classes, and then you were working with personal training clients. You said that you like that, but I'm curious, and I'm sure the listeners are curious to hear more about some of the challenges and some of the perks of kind of cobbling together that schedule to make sure that you're paying the bills, that you're feeling filled up in what you're doing.
Really, really good question. As far as paying the bills with any passion project, because it is risky to go out on your own. I like security. Okay. I need to know that there's like a net to catch me, which I had to make that net myself. For those people that are thinking about going out on their own and doing their own thing, either to have some money saved up, you know, so that you're not in panic mode, and not saying yes to everything that comes your way just to get things moving. It's okay to say yes to things that, you know, you don't aren't necessarily in love with, but you shouldn't say yes to things that are really, really hard to get to, making you feel emotionally bad. As far as piecing it together, it takes time. You are going to have holes in your schedule. If it's freelance, you're not going to be, it's very unusual. And I have colleagues that are in their 50s. So I know that it's just the way the work is, where like you're working in the morning and then you're free for a bunch of hours, but, and then you have classes in the evening, you know, it's very hard to build like a very 9-to-5 type schedule. And your days can be very long sometimes. In order to not be in panic mode, if things aren't coming your way, having some sort of a backup is good. When I first started with the personal training, I was also a nanny. So I knew that I had that to fall, and I loved it. I really loved doing that. So it should be something you enjoy as well, hopefully. And that gave me the flexibility to take clients with outside of the work. But as far as like not being in panic mode, have a safety net, whether money saved up or some sort of a backup gig to generate income. And also just to understand that there is a cycle to freelance. There's going to be months where you're super, super, super busy. You're booked up the wazoo. You can't take any more clients. You're working like crazy. And that can also be intense, but there's also going to be months like Corona, which like can go both ways. Either you're super busy or not, where you're not as busy. And that's a time to kind of reflect and rest a bit more so that when it picks up again, you have the energy to keep going. That's just the way it is with this type of work. Do I say yes to this? Do I say no to this? You get better at it, I suppose, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, what works for you, what doesn't, but it's just, you're constantly having to make decisions. But that's part of growth, I guess, you know, it's a different dynamic. I never worked in an office.
Bless you.
Oh no,
keep it that way.
You think, I don't know, like then I would have like such a cute wardrobe, you know, like
Ava,
I would have like,
stop
cute
it.
Clothes.
You have the best wardrobe ever. You want to switch? I'm working from home right now. I want to wear
no.
what you wear every day. Neon.
Word. Word. Fair enough. I hear you. Yeah. No, but I just saw the bull type and I'm like, ooh, look at that sweater. But I know that's not like what it's really like to work in an office. But anyway.
You don't trust me. You're in the right place doing the right thing. Switching gears a little, I wanted to know a bit about on how pregnancy and becoming a mother your body changing, a new identity, becoming a mom. How did that affect your work and your work with other women?
Oh, wow. Good question. Okay. It totally affected work-wise. It affected everything. Before I had kids, I only had to think about what was good for me. If I was going to take a job or work with a client or not, like it was all just like instinct. It was all just instinctual. Now it's logistics. Women are insane. Like what women are expected to do. It's insane. You know, if I take a job, do I have someone to watch? Cause I have a baby at home. He's not in a gun right now. He's home with me. Is it financially worth it to me to take a job where I have to pay somebody else to be with my child? Yeah. There's a lot of times where it is just not financially feasible. I want to do it. I want to for my soul, for my career, but it's just, sometimes it's just not, and that's hard. And with my first, I was taking her with me a lot to work. It was a different time. My clients were long-standing clients. It was a dream. This is not what I was able to do. Most people are not able to do where they can work and be with their baby. It was crazy. I was so, so, so lucky to be able to do that. But anyway, so yes, it totally affected my career as far as what hours I'm available. Is it worth it financially, time-wise, all that stuff? And as far as pregnancy and body image goes, the body is amazing. The body is so resilient. I really think social media, if you follow the right accounts, you are getting the right information. Your body does not bounce back after a baby. And to see real women afterwards, after birth, that was really good that I focused a lot on that before I had a baby, so that I had a realistic expectation of like what it was going to be like, what your body might look like after. But again, the body is super resilient. If you treat it well, it will work with you. You have to be kind. You have to be patient. You have to work hard. Okay. You do have to take care of yourself, rest, eat well, move your body in a way that you enjoy. But if you do make those choices, you should feel back to yourself, a new self. But I really like how my body looks. I'm working on it constantly, you know, a little bit at home every day and eating well and all that stuff. I really, really stick to that. It's kind of my, instead of therapy for me, that I'm giving something to myself, because I really do. I've always connected to my body. So it's super important to me. And pregnancy, like, women are badasses. Women are accomplishing amazing things. A doctor said to me, pregnancy is not a disease. Pregnant women can do everything that regular non-pregnant people can do. Obviously, if they have the okay from their doctor and whatnot. I felt really good during the pregnancies.
Yeah. Well, you were killing it. You were dancing like a boss.
It felt good. It felt really good. Dancing is really like natural. Like it's part of I'm sure the cavemen dance. Like it feels really good. Also, when you're in labor, they want you to get moving and to dance. Not that I did that. They were like, aren't you your dancer? Aren't you going to dance? I was like, nah, man. Like I did it all during the pregnancy. Like I'm good.
Did you say nah, man? Or were you like, shut up?
No. I don't know. Like when I was in labor both times, I just like retreated into myself. I was very silent, actually. They were like very amazed at how silent.
I love that. I love that. I can like imagine it, honestly.
Oh God.
I feel like whenever I go to your classes, would go to your classes, still go to your classes, anything, there's always such a big element of body positivity, self-love. It's not about perfect technique. It's about having fun, loving yourself. I feel like you always incorporate also in words and actions and how you teach, how you relate to other people. Take care of yourself and love yourself and enjoy and have fun. And I love coming to dance with you so much. And I had told you during Corona times, side note, Ava started teaching 305 Fitness, for example, virtually during Corona and got this crazy following, and all these people all over the world could dance with her instead of just being in person. So that's crazy. But when we could actually go back in person and dance together, I know I would tell you every time, it would just be like, my mood shifted like crazy. I needed this. My soul needed this. I love to dance. It's such an outlet. I feel so good. I want to shake it. On the note of 305, you started it in Tel Aviv. You started in Israel. You were the first instructor in Israel. So can you tell us a bit about it and what you do?
I was visiting my family in New York, and I went to a whole bunch of different types of dance cardio classes, mostly just to kind of get new inspiration. I wasn't looking for the, you know, something new to do. And someone's like, yeah, you should check out 305 Fitness. So it was on the list of places that I went. Every other place that I went to, every girl looked literally the same. That everybody was white. Everybody was a size 4 or under. There was not a lot of joy. There was a lot of a stressed feeling in these environments, which is fine. I just picked up on that. And then I went to 305, and it was the completely, it was exactly like, it was something that I was looking for that I didn't even know I was looking for. The instructors were extremely diverse as far as race, ethnicity, boys and girls, size as well. I mean, they're all super, super fit, but you know, they were not size 0. They were very beautiful, strong people.
Real,
but fierce. Like, these people are, I mean, they're some of the best movers out there. The ones that are teaching in the studios themselves. And the clientele was also super diverse, super diverse. There was a lot of girls that, like, you know, were working, had office jobs and lived in that area or worked in that area. So they were like regular people. It was such a positive and uplifting and fun experience. I just was like totally blown away. I was going as often as I could. I would go like every day in a row just to see as many instructors as I could. I spoke with an instructor after one of the classes. Turns out they were doing a certification. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll apply. You know, I really wanted to do it. I get there. Most certifications I've done, I'm like the most professional person in the room. That was not the case at this certification. I was so impressed with the people that were also in the course with me, with the staff that was running the course. I learned more about the message of inclusivity. Everyone can sit with us. The fitness industry needs to change. We need to celebrate our bodies. We need to celebrate individuality. Fitness used to be all about exclusivity, which is what I felt at those other studios, where it was like, you know, like you had to kind of be a certain way to fit in, to like feel part of it. This is the opposite. This class is really for the girl that's in the back of the room that doesn't feel part of it. Those are the people that we want. Those are the people that I want in my class. The ones that go to another fitness class and they don't feel like they belong there for whatever reason, whether they don't look like the other people, whether they speak a different language, whether they don't feel like they're pretty enough or fit enough or whatever. You are perfect just the way you are. And this class is for you. I want the outcasts, the underdogs. I want the people. Those are my people. I feel like I've always identified with those people, believe it or not. I never really felt like I fit in anywhere. Again, we moved a lot. I was constantly with different types of people. So I constantly kind of had to like adjust who I was in order to kind of fit in. So this idea of not belonging or otherness, it really always resonated with me. Also, when I was teaching Zumba, I wanted everybody to feel part of it because I know how hard it can be when you don't feel like you fit in. 305 really hit all those marks for me. Fun, body positive, everyone belongs. I mean, you've taken the class. It's just so fun and different
it's so fun.
Than anything A else.
Class, Ava, please. A class, I've taken A class. Ava, Ava, I love. It's so much fun. Playlists are lit.
Yeah, the playlists are
ball.
Lit.
It's a ball and it's really a workout. It's a Schwitzfest.
It is. That's the other thing. It sneaks up on you with all these things about saying it's, you know, it's for everybody, but you're going to get your ass.
You're going to work hard.
You're going to work hard and you're going to love it because you're going to be having fun. Hopefully. Hopefully that's my main goal. That's like, for me, that's the most important thing. Did you have fun? Because life is really serious. Your workout should be like the fun, happy part of your day.
Not the task that you're dreading.
I don't think you'll stick to it if it's like that. I don't think it's something that you'll commit to if you hate it.
So today, could you give us just a snapshot of what your day looks like?
I am at the moment on a pretty heavy duty maternity leave, more so than I did with my first. So I would say my day is very much centered around that at the moment, which has its ups and its downs. There's some days where I really struggle with that, with the FOMO. I have horrible sense of FOMO professionally, not socially, where I feel like I'm missing out on things, but I know it's mostly in my head because if an opportunity is right, it'll present itself at the right time. My day is very much centered around taking care of two humans and then finding like pockets of time where I can work on things that I'm working on. Currently, I'm trying to build a summer series where I'm partnering with small businesses where it's 305 class plus beer making something, or I'm just making that up, like not that specifically. But if you make beer and you want to work with me, like, yeah, let's make some beer and dance it out. I don't know. So I'm literally, if you were to see me, I'm literally on the phone pushing a swing with a kid in it who, like, you know, maybe not wanting to be in the swing anymore. And then a baby is just like laying in a stroller there. So my days are very dynamic. I'm trying to fit in work when I have time. Sometimes I don't have time and I'm still trying.
Yeah. Well, you're a super mom, I think. And
thank you.
Duh. What advice would you give to someone who doesn't know what to do with their life?
I would say, don't freak out. Number one, don't freak out. That might start like a spiral. Everything is cool. Everything is fine. The fact that you can even have this question with yourself shows that you're in a really good place. And then from there, I would say, take a look at your circle. Who are the people you hang out with? Are they lifting you up? Are they making you feel insecure? Are they toxic? Are they inspiring? So I would make sure you're surrounding yourself with good people. If you don't have good people, now that Corona is like on the way out, knock on wood, like maybe go to like some social events that interest you. If you don't have interests, try something new. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll hate it, but then you'll have an opinion on it. So I would say if you don't have it figured out, just start really small. You don't have to change everything, but you can try something very tangible and very easy. And then just one step at a time, you'll find some sort of path.
Yes. Such good advice. Ava,
You're the coolest.
No. You know you're the coolest, and you know that truly during quarantine time when you were live streaming 305, it got me through. It made my day. Aww. I was looking forward to it. I needed it. I don't think I could have managed this time without you and always making me laugh, and it was just amazing. Where can people follow you, sign up for your classes, dance with you, work with you?
The best way to get in touch with me would probably be through my Facebook or Instagram. Hot Body TLV, but it's spelled I think best if it's through a link.
Yep,
but Instagram and Facebook or phone are the best ways to reach me. Instagram and Facebook are the best. Because I don't always answer my phone because I don't know who it is and I get nervous.
Classic. Don't answer lately because the Pelephone people keep calling me trying to convince me to buy a Pelephone package.
And I'm so nice. I don't know how to tell them I'm not interested. I just like let them keep talking.
I know, me too. It sucks. We're the same in that regard.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's the worst. Ava, thank you so much. So excited to have
you. Thank you so much for having me. Love you.
Love you. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Ava. I had a ball. We could talk for hours. I'm debating sharing an outtakes spoof episode with all the hilarious bits that didn't quite make the cut today, so stay tuned for that. Being a professional dancer or following the path to be one is clearly something so grueling, so intense. We laymen cannot even comprehend what it means. So many people talk about living your passion. If your job is doing your passion, you've made it. And I feel like Ava's story really makes us question that attitude. It made a lot of sense that the intensity, competitiveness of being a dancer helped Ava realize that this wasn't the right path for her. In the freelancing fitness world, Ava was talking about how she always keeps an ear to the ground to see what's happening, what are the trends, what are people doing. This definitely applies to many other industries, and I think it's so awesome that Ava can ebb and flow in her work. She can continue learning, growing, trying new things as different trends, exercises, experiences emerge. On a very different note, something I normally would not share, there's a point in the interview where Ava says that she loves how her body looks. I don't know if I have heard anyone say something so kind to their body before. It almost made me uncomfortable to hear how great she felt about her body. Unfortunately, I'd rarely hear someone so confidently saying how they love what they look like. I think my reaction to her saying that struck me more than her actually saying that. I am used to body shaming myself from a young age. So it really hit me when she said that. There's so much we can take from her and there's so much she can teach us. That's it for today.